Friends with differences.
Alright, today on Friends with Differences, we talked about being a comic. We talked about life, we talked about friends, we talked about maybe some bullshit, we talked about Elon Musk.
Yep. We hit dogs, we talked about life transforming and moving locations, and
talked about Chris Wright.
Chris Wright. we talked about Stephen Wright. Fuck Chris Wright.
Yeah, dude, he fucked everything up. I think we did good today.
Sparky, thank you for coming on. I really appreciate it. We're definitely doing this again at some point in the future. I don't know where. We're going national, you know.
Well, yeah, you're gonna have to figure out a new venue.
Yeah, we'll figure it out.
Word on the street. So.
Yeah. We'll make it happen.
Yes, sir.
Well, thanks again for coming on, and enjoy the episode.
Yes, sir.
Peace.
I like that. That's a good idea, actually.
Yeah, because I'm going for like a talk show thing. Yeah, but I haven't even introduced you yet. I mean, we have the intro, but
you're a terrible talk show host.
I'm terrible. This is episode 30. You would think I would
look. Big 30. Congratulations. I'm honored, sir.
Yeah, I'm honored. Sparky, thank you for coming on.
Yes, I'm Sparky. We met at Electric Forest.
Yeah, I've been three times, and I think you were there each time.
Yes, sir.
The first one was like 2017, 2018?
No.
2019?
I went to, this will be, so I don't know if I'm going this year. So
yeah, I don't have a ticket yet either.
Spoiler alert or whatever.
Sorry to drop that T.
Well, I am going to Lost Lake.
I said the fucking T. I hate when people say the T. We're restarting. No, I'm just kidding.
Go on. Yeah, run it back.
You're going to Lost Lands?
I am going to Lost Lands, yeah. Because I met some Canadian. Remember the Canadians next to us this past year?
Yeah.
Dude, it's true what they say about Canadians.
Oh, yeah?
They're fucking super nice and friendly. Yeah, like,
great people.
Dude, there's like, Adam would come over there and other people would be like, just sitting on their stuff, putting their feet up like, and they're just, so, how you doing, hey? And, you know, it's just like, Americans would have been like, yo, what the fuck? Like, what are you doing? Like,
yeah, people tripping over their kids. They're like, you need help, sir.
Fucking Ryan's blaring music at, like, 6 a.m. He's, like, coming through their camp, dude, just like, dude. I'm just like, but they like me. And
yeah.
So, I was going to go with them next year, or this year. I actually decided.
Oh, are they doing a group stuff?
Yeah, they're doing a group thing too, so I'm going to tag along. And
hell yeah.
Because, you know, and this is the thing about music festivals, man. It's a, at least for me, I mean, I think it's different for them, but it's a vibey thing.
Yeah.
And
it's like a community thing, kind of like you want to,
yeah,
something to share with people.
Right, and you know, if you're not feeling it, then you gotta go where the love is, kind of thing.
Yeah, but, for sure.
So, you know. I dig them, so I, you know, try out Lost Lands. And a new, and honestly, you know, I went 3 years in a row to Electric Forest.
Yeah.
I love it. It's great. I'm still going to go again, but want to expand my horizons a little bit and try some other things, see some other things, you know?
Yeah, I understand that. I don't know. There's many factors why I haven't bought a ticket yet, and I probably won't.
The big one is because the ticket costs fucking $700. That's always the big. That's the first.
You still have to camp. I mean, camping is expensive when you're providing everything.
But yeah, you're paying like $1,000 to shit in a porta potty
for 3 days, and by the third day, that porta potty has. Oh, all of that shit throw up
in. Well, you have to get there first thing in the morning, like after you hear them clear out. Like if you go in the middle of the day, you're asking for it. You're asking to shit on top of a poop mountain.
Yeah. Yeah, like so many horrendous, just drug-induced shits, to be honest, in those porta potties.
Oh, man, the things that's happened in those porta potties, dude. People's lives have just been altered in there.
Yeah, because some people, I mean, everybody has to shit at some point.
Yeah, I don't care who you are.
Yeah.
You gotta release the beast. And some of the stuff that you're doing out there, it doesn't matter how you feel about shitting. It's like, this is happening.
Yeah, there is no option besides this one right now.
No negotiating with terrorists. It's in the asshole.
Yeah, it's not like there's even like, it's called the electric forest, but there's not really a woods to go shit in. It's not like you can go dig a hole. Doesn't work like that.
You know, before I get, first thing I actually want to talk about was the podcast.
Oh, yeah.
Podcast. So, podcasts are getting out of hand, right?
Probably. I mean, look at this. Episode 30, I'm wilding out, though.
You know. Kinda. So like, but it's funny. It's a good getting out of hand or whatever. I don't know. But so I think of it as like Facebook, TikTok, all these other things when they first started.
Yeah.
Everyone's like, talk shit about them, whatever. Mm-hmm. But then everyone still, whether they're still talking about it, they're using it, but it started picking up steam. And next thing you know, everyone uses TikTok. Everyone uses Facebook. So same thing with now podcasts. Everyone's doing podcasts. They're either doing one, listening to one. So it's like, I was at the barber the other day, and this another, I think, comedian or something, he's like, oh, yeah, me and buddy are starting a podcast. And it just got me thinking. I'm like, everyone's doing a podcast. So, you know, I know, me, I used to talk shit, but yeah, here I am. And I was like, now I'm on a podcast.
Dude, we out here.
Yo, what's up? So, and it's not that I'm against podcasts. It's just... It's a new thing that's happening. Everyone's doing it.
Yeah.
Shit talk, whatever. And then, same thing. Podcaster to me is like Facebook and everything else now.
Yeah.
Everyone's going to be, it's going to get integrated no matter what you want, how you want it. It's some way, shape, or form, whether you like it, it's going to be there.
Yeah. There's just such a variety of people that have a presence in podcasting. I mean, I think there's some crazy statistic. Yeah, I told you. Beware. We're like, I think if you have over like 10 episodes, you're in the like top 1% of podcasts because there's so many that just start and stop.
So, and I'm actually, so
that's probably a wrong statistic.
Yeah, don't fact check that, or don't have your lawyers contact us.
No.
Because we are
broke. You probably shouldn't repeat that.
We are poor and we are broke. Don't do that. But no, actually, it inspired me. Like, I'm like, well, fuck, I want to start my own podcast.
Yeah.
I want to start my own podcast called Let's Smoke Weed and Start a Podcast.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, I mean, yeah.
I mean,
how? It might be hard in Indiana.
Yeah, but beside logistics, the concept of just saying, hey, let's smoke weed and start a podcast, because, I mean, isn't that like 95% of podcasts?
Yeah, I've always said that, like,
Joe Rogan?
I mean, most successful podcasts.
And, I could start that podcast, and I could be like Joe Rogan, like maybe like a Wish or Temu version, so I'd be like, Rogan, Joe, whatever, backwards, I wouldn't,
Oh, I don't know how to, I can't.
Joe Rogan, Rogan Joe.
Yeah.
What, but I could start something Stan there. I think Rogan. I could get some traction there.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, this is, I think, still a relatively young podcast. If I really wanted to, like, grow, I feel like the best way to grow is the short-form content. But, like, I don't know. I like putting it on a schedule. That's really helpful. Let's see. There's something interesting about podcasting that I was going to say. I don't know. It's also a YouTube page, and I track the statistics more on YouTube than I do on any actual podcasting, RSS, like, listeners. I don't know. There's something interesting I was going to say, but it's totally escaped me. It's really, like, I produce everything through OBS, but it's not probably the meta. The meta is everybody has a microphone and...
Yeah, you know. It's not, you know, it's not the setup that matters, man. It's the content, the people, the what you make it, man. You know what I mean?
Oh, I remember what I was going to say. Yeah, the reason I love it so much, that's what I was trying to get at.
Here we go. Circle back around.
Yeah, it's like a great excuse to just sit down and catch up with your, like, my friends. It's called Friends with Differences. I love all sorts of people out here. And it's hard to always find an excuse to hang out with everybody.
Oh, yeah.
And the podcast is just a great way to be like, yo, let's sit down and talk.
Yeah.
Let's just hang out.
Yeah. That's what I'm saying. I like the concept of it. It's, you know what I mean? It's community. Yeah. Bringing people together, man. That's what it's all about. Mm-hmm. So, I dig it.
Yeah. Yeah. When I started this podcast, we recorded the first episode in, I believe, 23, I believe. Oh, let me look real quick. It's right here.
Yeah, oh, fact check.
Fact check me. We recorded the first one in January of 23. And back then, I had a co-host, Liam.
Where did he go?
He's still around. We just aren't on the schedule anymore. Just has grown apart. But the reason it's called Friends with Differences is because me and Liam used to, like, talk a lot and just debate a lot.
Yeah.
And we're, like, great friends, but we have a lot of, like, oppositions politically and just, I don't know, stuff.
Normal shit, I think.
Yeah. And it seems like, I don't know, a lot of people are, like, rather reserved talking to others. And, like, I don't know, it seems like people are more and more inclined to not have dialogue with their opposition. Yeah. It's like, why not? Let's open up those floodgates and we're not going to get anywhere if we don't talk.
Yeah, I mean, you got to head on confrontation, man, to get some results, honestly.
Yeah, so it started out pretty fiery. I mean, we'd, like,
let's go.
Fucking Elon Musk had brought up every episode, dude. And Liam, not a fan at all. You could say a hater of Elon Musk.
Okay.
And
there's a lot of those.
Yeah, it was quite a difference between us because I am not a hater of Elon Musk.
I'm not, like, I'm neither for nor against.
Yeah.
I'm Switzerland with all the, honestly.
Yeah, I don't have,
I like to debate either way. I'll be on either side of whatever I need to be on most of this stuff, to be honest with you.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, because most of this shit, like, that shit doesn't affect, like, my bills or, like, my, you know, when my stomach hurts after I eat a block of cheese, like, I don't give a fuck about Elon Musk. You know what I mean? But I'll debate it with somebody all day.
Yeah, I feel like I liked him for years before he was like more of a political or controversial figure.
Yeah.
Like, I remember being in college and liking Elon. And then, like, I don't know, it felt like all of a sudden everybody hated Elon. And I was like, what happened? And it's been the same ever since. He's been hated by a lot of people ever since.
I'm going to go against what I was immediately what I said earlier about racism and or whatever.
Yeah.
When he did his little thingy.
Whew.
All right. Listen. Bro, listen.
Yeah.
Do you really think I was just giving my heart to the people? No, dude. There's a billion and 27 different ways you can give your heart to the people, and that is the last one you would ever
Oh, it's so bad.
Like, I just, that's crazy.
Yeah, I don't know.
That was not a good look, man. That
mistake. But, oh, I could see him making that mistake. I could see him doing it.
I mean, so this is the only thing. So what people have said, though, is we have to remember, we are normal.
I'd like to
He is not normal. He's a billionaire. He's super smart. This dude owns a fucking a spaceship company, a fucking car company, a fucking...
Yeah, you know he's always been in that class.
He's obviously up way above us to ever even understand what the fuck he's thinking. But, so I understand he's in different places and he's not from here. And the language, we don't even know where it comes from, apparently. There's no actual...
I don't know if I've heard this.
Yeah, you can... That's something
what,
you can...
What language?
No, that's... No one knows what it is, I think. Like, they've
well, what is? What's
his,
happening?
His language... Like, his accent.
Oh.
No one can, like, pinpoint...
Oh, he's an alien? Is that what we're saying?
Whoa. I didn't say that.
Dude, that's what I'm saying.
Oh, okay.
Holy hell.
But, yeah.
He's an alien.
You can. You don't have to look it up right now, but on your free time, don't die either, or we'll never know.
Yeah, I thought about hitting my vape and dying. Yeah, he's like, oh, that's horrible.
Well, that one doesn't work. I think that's why you're having issues.
Oh. Of course, thank you.
Yeah, I'll help assist.
It's a running theme in the podcast now because I just recorded them.
I hit it earlier for something I can't remember.
Oh, yeah. I love it. My friends Andy and Tommy gave me it, and I love it. And the last episode,
Andy and Tommy, they're forest friends.
Yeah, you know Andy and Tommy, they're great. But they gave me that for I believe my birthday, like a year ago or so, and it's awesome. The last episode, I stranded. His vape, and every time it like swapped hands, so we fucking hit it, and now it's just I think it's funny, so I'm gonna keep doing it.
There you go.
I love which it. Is horrible. I'm a horrible fiend. But
yeah, well, we all got our vices, my friend.
Yeah. Yeah, some of us have all of them.
So actually, I wanna go in I don't know what direction, but I'm actually curious of who you're. Comedians that kind of like inspired you over the years, I guess.
I love the question, sure. Like Ricky Gervais is my favorite.
Yeah.
He's always been just exceptional, and especially like, you know, his gigs hosting, like, I believe it was the Golden Globes. That was crazy.
Yeah. That was,
And,
epic shit.
I've just always loved his special, I've always loved The Office.
Yeah,
his storytelling and I don't know. He just has a way of humanizing things.
Well, I know. So, do you like that kind of? I know he's very kind of like blunt, very honest. You know, doesn't like sugarcoat. Like,
yeah, I like.
But that. Also keeps it as a like it's a joke, like it's serious, but makes it a joke. Like, is that your kind of?
Yeah, I think so. I don't tend to shy away from topics or anything, so
yeah.
I like to get people thinking.
Yeah, see, I love everything. Like, there may be some comedy that's kind of like not for me, but for the most part, I'm for most or all comedy, depending on who it is. It really depends on their delivery. Again, like you're saying, their storytelling, like your setup. Mm-hmm. There's just lots of, and sometimes it can even be your body language. Just a lot of it goes into stand-up, I think. And, so, I don't know, man. He's a good one. Who else? Is that the...
The most recent one. Because I've loved so many comedians over
the years. I know it's hard to pick, just a few. But just try to...
Yeah, Bill Burr, Shane Gillis, I got to see last night. I love Shane Gillis.
Yeah.
But he's, fairly new. Another new one that I love is Daniel Sloss. He's a European, I think he's British.
Dudes with accents always do well.
Yeah, he's typically. British comedy.
Yeah, like, you don't even really got to be funny, because you already talk funny, so you just kind of got to be a little funny.
Yeah, his is super, like, satirical and, like, crazily enough, like, he has this one special called Jigsaw. And it's great, and he raises some, like, really introspective questions about, like, personal relationships, right?
Yeah.
And he, like, during the special, he brags about, like, so far on that tour, like, 170-some couples, like, messaged him saying that they broke up after seeing his show. So, like, I just tell anybody that it might be in a questionable relationship, I'm like, yo, watch Jigsaw. Just watch Jigsaw. If you make it through it, that's, you know, your relationship's
and stretch strong, your own risk.
You know, yeah. It's a test. It's a test, but I love it. It's hilarious.
I'll check that out.
Yeah. So that's been new and fun. Like, Bill Hader. I love Bill Hader. I got on a big kick of Bill Hader last year.
Okay. I haven't seen a lot of his, I've seen a lot of his acting, but I haven't seen a lot of his stand-up, I don't believe.
Yeah, I haven't seen a ton of his stand-up either. I just like a lot of his interviews and stuff. He's just so good at
impressions. Oh, yeah. I mean, he's funny, for sure.
Yeah.
I like to go, I'll bring a little old school, throwing some George Carlin in there.
Yeah, George Carlin,
man,
great.
That was, like, some epic shit, man. I still watch that shit, quote that shit, like, to this day.
And I, like, I also love, like, really quick comedy, like, one-liners. Mm-hmm. Like, I love one-liners.
Yep.
So, like, Jimmy Carr is amazing.
Yeah.
Mitch Hedberg, classic. Stephen Wright, another just... They just hit with one-liners, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
And it's hilarious. I love it.
What's the... I keep forgetting his name because I kept saying it wrong earlier, and I don't know why. Anthony Jeselnik.
Oh, yeah. He's the same way where his is almost like one-liners, but it's like... More storytelling,
and,
a little
and
bit.
There's those lots of twists and turns that, you know, yeah, I don't know. And then, like I said, so
it's a lot of
I like, but this is the thing, I like that dark comedy sense of humor. I also thought, and this is now, this is also, I guess, technically dirty, but pre-rape Bill Cosby, you know, his stand-up, when he was Dr. Huxtable and all that shit was still funny.
Sure. He was still raping. We just didn't.
Well,
know
yeah.
About.
Well, no. Well, okay. Pretty new about rape. Yeah, yeah. When we just thought he was Dr. Huxtable.
Yeah.
That his those stand-ups were funny, and he didn't cuss.
Oh yeah.
He didn't say anything derogatory or negative. Like it.
Yeah,
it
you
was
gotta
still,
be able to do clean.
It was clean cut. So like, and I love both spectrums, man, and and almost everything in between. Every once in a while, there's some stuff. I'm like, eh, it's not my thing.
Yeah.
But, you know.
Dude, if you want to try, like, because I know you talked about, like, stand-up. Yeah, wait.
Yeah,
like,
man.
What are you?
That's, like, that's another thing I want to talk to you about. So, and that's why I'm actually kind of, like, envy you a little bit, because I've always wanted to get into stand-up, man, for years.
Yeah.
And people's always told me, oh, you should do stand-up. But this is the thing, like, comedy is, for one, very suggestive, as we know.
Oh, yeah.
But... Comedy is also, so there's a difference between stand-up comedy, there's a difference between observational comedy, there's a difference between a one-on-one, or like, you know, especially like if, for instance, when someone says you're a comedian, like, oh, well, tell me a joke. It's like, well, I'm not a popsicle stick. Like, I don't know, there's such
a range of comedy and styles, and like, I mean, there's even like comedy music and like all these different channels and avenues of entertainment. Like I dove in pretty head first,
which is
like,
probably a good way to go, to be honest with you.
Yeah, it took a while to like get up because I like wanted to do Crackers or Helium. Like I wanted to do a club open,
right? Like a, yeah.
And I put in Helium for a couple of weeks and never got it, and just went and signed up on their alt list and did 3 minutes there for, like, you know, and there's a crowd of, like, I don't know, probably 30 to 50 people. And I was 26, I think, of 27 comics. And so it was a lot of people to get through. But
yeah.
It was pretty good. It was pretty fun. Yeah, like, the... the reason I started gets more sad. But if you want to start there, that's a good place to start there. Or if you want to start somewhere like really low key, yesterday, Happy Place, their open mic started back on Saturdays, which is great.
I seen you been doing some shows like at like the Colonial or something.
Oh yeah, Colonial Tavern. They have an open mic, but they're also in construction right now.
Okay.
So that one was supposed to be tonight, like literally in like an hour, but construction's still going. I heard from a friend that was talking to Terry today, who runs the open mic.
Yeah.
So that one's not on at the moment. It should be back like in the next week.
What about that? Was a cool little spot where you did the roast battles there too.
Yeah, that's my favorite open mic. That's on Tuesdays.
Yeah.
They do it every Tuesday. It starts at 7:30. Signups are at 7. You just come, get on the list. It's real like
I think talking with you and whatever, I think it'll kind of help push me over the edge. Because like over the years, and I don't have them because I'm actually in the middle of like packing and doing shit. But I have like over the years like M&M type shit on like napkins and pieces of paper, like, you know, scribbled jokes and things, which some of them I'm like, oh yeah, okay, this is
that's fire.
But the problem, some of them I didn't put enough context with.
Oh right.
So there's like, I found this one is like, it said something like, if you was a serial killer, something about how easy it would be to kill your girlfriend. I'm just like, is that a joke? Are we just stating facts now? I'm like, what note is what?
Dude, that happens to be a lot too. Where it's just like, what am I thinking? Is there comedy there at all, Evan? Oh my lord.
And then that's, so there's the other problem, which is why I think it would be good to start somewhere real low key where I may have to do what I don't want to do, which is when you have to like, so this is just my personal opinion. I think when you have to like write stuff on your hand or you have to have a piece of paper by to see and remember stuff, me, it throws, not to say that like people are still funny. I went to the amateur night where almost everyone had to do that. And I remember thinking, wow, these people are still funny, whatever. But just aesthetically, it throws me off.
Yeah, true stand-up comics don't do that.
You know what I mean? So, and it's no slight against you or anyone who does it. It's just, and honestly, that's the biggest thing that set me back. Because I'm no better than anyone else. Like, I know as soon as I get up there, I'm going to freeze up. And everything I thought that I knew is going to go out the window. And then that's why, oh, well, if I had something wrote down, I could at least... So, if I can get over that hump, that fear, that if I can figure out to do it with or without, I'd like to do, obviously, without, just because, me personally, if I'm sitting down, I see a comedian, keeps going to a piece of paper,
right,
it just kind of throws me off.
It doesn't come off professional.
And if that's how I feel, then I can't go up there and do it, then I'm... Who the fuck am I? I'm
not, well, you know it what I mean? Is, like, it is a process. Like, I started... and I just like had jokes on my phone that I had been that I had wrote, and I got on at Helium on the alt list and then just ripped those jokes, and I have my phone right there, but you know I knew the jokes, so I just, you know, peeped down.
And
for like months I would literally type out all my jokes and literally everything I was gonna say word for word and then print out for every open mic. I was going to open mics like at least 3 times a week and just print out everything. And so now I'm to the point where I just take this and I write down the like topics of the jokes I'm going to say,
and right, yeah,
so I just know what I want. But I have been recently, there's been twice I went up this past 2 weeks, twice I went up without a set list and just went for it, you know, which was good. I mean, it went well, but it's harder to hit all of the jokes you want to hit.
Yeah.
If you don't have that checklist, you know.
Right.
But it's a process from growing. If you want to try, like, that Happy Place is, like, the most low-key, where there's normally, like, 5 to 10 people there, you know. And it's like Saturday midday. But I'm also hosting a couple open mics this week. I'm hosting Monkey Duck tomorrow, which is rather short notice. And not as short nosed, but still short nosed. I'm hosting Planetary, though, Mike, that had the roast battle on Tuesday. And it's like my favorite open mic. It's always a good crew of comedians and some guests. And, Andy always whips up the drinks. It's a good time.
Yeah. Well, I'll think about it because, like I said, dude, I've always wanted to do it. And that's the thing. I just obviously got to do it to try it, find out. Because everyone, you know, I in school, I was a class clown. I was like, you know, being a funny guy. And then, like we were talking about earlier, off the podcast about family and you know how like where was I going? We were talking about
family. It's like Fast and Furious. I don't know.
Which one? Tokyo Drift 5 when The Rock was there. Old when 10. Vin Diesel.
Are they past dead?
Before Paul Walker or after Paul Walker?
Before is better.
Well, yeah.
Preferably before. Take me back.
I don't remember.
Yeah, I think like starting is just like compiling jokes, however that is. Like I use the notes app on my phone a lot, and then I'll just write down the ones I want to talk about in my joke book, and then
from there. Oh, trauma. That's the comedy comes trauma. From trauma.
Oh,
from yeah, you know classic. How you're growing up and. So like
that's so common. I use that today.
That's my defense mechanism. Is you know when comedy. Something happens, I make jokes about it. So that's why people's like, how could you joke about that? It's like, well, it's either I joke about it, or I let it consume me and cry or lash out or.
And a lot of people appreciate it in terms of like easing the tension. Yeah. You know?
And I understand it's I guess it's not for everybody, but. I don't know. That's when comedy court the suggestive comes in, and it's like
is a fart at a funeral funny? It's like, of course it is. But there's some people that are just like, man, that's disrespectful. And it's like, I mean, a little bit, but
it's also
what if it was accidental?
You also have to think. Hilarious. You also have to think like who the person is. Like, for instance, if it was me, I would definitely want someone to do that. Like,
right?
You know, no, like I don't know. It's
whoever does first. Either I'll fart at your funeral or you fart at mine.
There we go. Actually, just kind of similar, well, different, I don't know, but I seen this meme that said something about when I die, I just want someone to stand at the back of my funeral with a black umbrella, silently and say nothing, and then leave. So that way everyone's like, what the fuck was Sparky into, bro? Did you see that shit?
That'd be cool. Hilarious.
That'd be something.
Yeah.
But yeah, man, so that's what I'm saying. So anytime especially if I have an audience, a room, like you said, the class clown thing, you know, if I make a joke and then a couple people laugh, then there's that fuel. And then it's kind of like a drug. Yeah. Then it gets me going. Then next thing you know, I'm just making everyone laugh. And that's all I want to do. And so I feel like it's easy in a kind of controlled room. The problem is a venue or a place like that is not a controlled room. Or at least not until you control it. And so I don't know. That's the thing. And also, stand like, for instance, some stand-up comedians, man, don't do well. I don't know. It doesn't always translate over. It's like when an artist does a live music or something. Like, you know, it doesn't always translate over.
Yeah, I was recently talking to like one of my comedian friends, Chelsea, that's hilarious. And she was talking more about how she likes playing bars than clubs. And it just blew my mind. I was like, what? That, like, I don't understand. Because I've always, like, comedy clubs are, like, the shit to me. I love them, you know? So, it's like, of course I want to perform at comedy clubs. I mean, preferably arenas, but we got to start somewhere. It's currently mostly
it's usually the bottom.
But I am going, I got a busy week this week. I got to post about it tonight so I can inspire people to come, but
yeah, you blew up, man. I actually, because I remember asking you, it was like, when your next thing coming up, and this was like kind of back in February sometime. You're like, oh, I got something coming up in early March, and then maybe something blah blah blah. I was like, cool, and it was the roast battle. I'm like, I'll come to that. And then next, like, it was like maybe 3 days, a week later, all of a sudden, you're like, I got this, I got this, I got this. I'm like, oh, shit. Yeah. Dude's all over the map.
Yeah, like this week I'm super busy. It's kind of all over the place. I'm getting some stuff booked for the summer. I'm really trying to start an open mic every week that I'm hosting. So I have a meeting about it this week.
There you go.
Fingers crossed comes through. Yeah, and then maybe next week I can start that open mic. I'd be super excited. And then ideally I can do a monthly show. I run a monthly show. It would be like a showcase kind of thing.
There you go.
I'm really hoping that comes through. I got a lot of hopes. I've meeting Tuesday with the director.
Nice, dude. That's awesome. Fuck yeah. Let's have to like you said, man. That's why I'm here to support you at your show, on your podcast.
Yeah, thanks.
Because that's half the battle, dude.
Yeah.
You got to believe in yourself. You got to want to do it, but then you also need people to help you and believe in you and support you. So,
well, I know awesome, you, dude. Like, you're hilarious, and like if you ever wanted to know the ins and outs of the podcasting or have any questions about comedy or whatever.
Oh yeah, yeah. You're gonna pick your brain, man. Because like I said, people's always said, "Oh, you should do it. You should do it." And like I said, man, maybe I do it and it works out, and we're fucking on the road together at some point. Or I get up there and eat shit and I'm like, hey, this isn't for me. And I just keep training dogs. I don't know. Both.
It's all about
in a perfect world. I'd love to do both. Yeah, I'd love to be a comedian and train dogs, man. So if it works out, it'd be awesome.
Well, I think becoming a comedian is quite a journey.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
So probably good to have the dog thing going on, which is awesome.
Oh, yeah. Got my side hustles, man. I'm not just a one-trick pony. I got to do some things.
Yeah, I was actually... I'm traveling a little bit. I'm going to Ohio to Go Bananas this week.
Oh, okay, nice.
And then I'm going to Bricky's, which is a comedy club in Dayton, Ohio. And I'm dog sitting, so it's a busy week.
There you go.
But I was... I just had to get that thought out. Sorry. but I was reading this book today about... it's called The War of Art.
Get it out, man. It's good. No worries.
Cheers. It's called War of Art, and I only got 20 pages in or so, but a lot of the intro is all about the resistance to these art or health activities that we put barriers up for no good reason, and it's just so easy to hold us back, Yeah. Like ourselves.
Oh yeah, we're our worst enemies, man. So.
Yeah. So I mean, yeah, the hardest part. It's a book about from a writer's perspective, as it's a book, but it's just talking about the struggles of sitting down to writing and how to get through that and shit.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. It's fun. It's a good read. I actually heard a comedian recommend it from a podcast that came out like a decade ago, and then this week I was scrolling YouTube shorts on my phone and then rolled past a clip of Joe Rogan and he was talking about it, and I was like, oh my god, my phone's listening.
Talking about Joe Rogan earlier?
Yeah. What a guy. Call back. Joe Rogan.
That's awesome.
You said George Carlin, but who else was your favorite comics?
Yeah.
Is there any particular special that you thought was nuts? I grew up on Bo Burnham too. I thought Bo Burnham.
My mind. That was some good stuff. Cause he was the first YouTube kind of guy, I think. But and then he got did the stand up thing. But I remember seeing him first, I think, on YouTube. I believe he had little skits or something.
Yeah.
You remember those?
Oh, yeah.
So, yeah, that's...
He did Vines. His Vines were hilarious.
Yeah. I love me some Bo. Man, for some reason, I keep wanting to go way back, like Eddie Murphy Raw shit. Yeah.
Those men. comedy's a reflection of the times, and man, the times have changed, dog.
Yeah.
There's some jokes that are holy cow.
Yeah.
No way Eddie Murphy be saying those today.
No, that's wild. I'm trying to, man.
Unless he would, which would
well
be hilarious.
I mean, I'm all for it. This is why, like, I wish there was a certain channel. Like, you know, they have a channel for porn. They have websites for all this other fucked up shit. There should be a designated comedy area where you literally can joke about anything. I'm not saying it's okay. That's up for debate. But as far as I feel about comedy, I think everything is on the table.
Yeah, for sure. Everything
goes. Every single, I don't care how fucked up it is or how fucked up it sounds. If it happened to you personally, feelings don't matter. It's from purely a joking perspective, every single thing should be on the table.
Yeah.
That's how I feel.
That was like my first set at Crackers. The whole theme was you can joke about anything. And so I posted it on YouTube because I was like really proud of those jokes and really happy with how cohesive the set felt.
Yeah.
And it was like the second time I did stand-up comedy. But it's my first YouTube video. Check it out. And but the whole theme was joke about anything. And I say some horrendous things. I mean, I'm joking about all sorts of stuff. My, you know, 9/11, like suicide, like...
Yeah, I'll tell you how young and I. So me and a buddy, I wish to God I could find a man. My car got stolen and it had like all these CDs that we made. But me and him used to do this thing called Old Men Tunes. Okay, mind you, we're like fucking 12 years old.
Yeah,
but we were talking like this, and like we would have literally make sketches, dude. Like singing over like beats. Originally, we called it Old Men Tunes because we were singing over beats of like Disturbed and just
going for
just doing random shit. But then it turned into like skit. Like now it's like mainstream. All these little things you see on like Adult Swim or whatever. These little skits, like. We were doing that shit at 12 years old, fucking 20, 30 years ago before this shit was mainstream.
Yeah.
But the things we would joke about was literally everything. And I remember we even had buddies, okay, we're going to Perry, so we had friends who were black, and we're dropping the N-word hard, left and right. You know, we're kids. Yeah. And just joking, like,
Xbox chat room.
It was true, like, it was just pure comedy to us, though. Like, we had no hate in our heart at 12 years old, dude. We, you know what I mean? We were literally just acting like old... acting like old men over fucking songs and skits. And just saying the most wildest shit, man. And I remember even...
But they're lost, you don't have the recordings.
Yeah, dude. It's fucking comedic gold. It's, oh my God, dude. You would love it. You would fucking absolutely love it.
Yeah, I definitely want to do more, like, sketches and skits. I don't know. We're doing like, I think I'm starting this YouTube channel. That'll be interesting.
I think I'd like to do some improv stuff maybe.
Yeah,
I think I kind of would be good with that too.
Yeah, improv, I mean, it seems like it's like parallel to comedy. Like, it is comedy, but it's parallel to stand up.
Oh, yeah, it's a like different. It's
not the same, you know? It's a different muscle.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
And it's like, most of the time, the difference is stand-up is one person. Improv typically is like a troupe or something.
Yeah, you got it. I'll compare it to kind of like Cards Against Humanity. Mm. If you're not playing with a good group, like who has a...
Yeah, Cards Against Humanity is fun.
It's a tough game if they don't have a good sense of humor. Or I'll tell you, if they don't read very well.
That
really takes away from the game.
Yeah, for sure. It's a struggle. That's a struggle for sure.
It just takes away from the punchline a little bit when you...
Yeah.
Vagina.
Yeah, you gotta have good comedic timing when you're playing Cards Against Humanity.
So that's why when I was playing it, and so that's what kind of circle back to controlling a room with comedy, knowing your audience. So like when I'm playing Cards Against Humanity, it's easy for me to win on the card or the joke if I'm playing the I'm playing what I think this person thinks funny, not what I think's
right,
funny.
Right, yeah.
You know what I mean? Because what I think's funny won't be the same what they think. They might think it's funny, but not what's going to win the card or win the round. Like, you know, so you have to play them and then... So, I don't know.
That's definitely the strategy.
Yeah.
Which does make it fun.
I love it.
It's a great game.
It is.
Did you play Apples to Apples growing up? That was like the child of Cards Against Humanity.
Yeah.
That was a good one.
Oh, yeah.
There is like, suggestion type stand-up. Like, Liberty has an open mic on Wednesday nights, the late night one. It starts at 9:30. Sign-up's around 9. And it's like close to Mass Ave. Well, it's on Mass Ave. And it's fun. And the best part about it is there's a bucket, you know, with like all sorts of random suggestions in it. And so, like, you can just go up there and pick a topic and just try to make it funny.
There you go.
And it's fun to do.
Yeah.
I've only been really once, but it was a good time.
Sounds like it.
Yeah, I've only been once. Damn, that's kind of surprising. I've been watching Survivor. It's kind of a theme on the podcast because I just watch it every week and I love it.
Like the TV show?
Oh, yeah.
Like where the people go out and
survive.
Like eat berries and shit.
Yeah, there's a competition hosted by Jeff Probst. It was great. This past week, tornadoes came through and they interrupted Survivor. That wasn't cool at all. It's the second time this season it's been interrupted by Chris Wright on CBS News.
That son of a bitch.
And we're just, like, we do like a little watch party and me and everybody are just like, what the hell? What is this? If I don't die tonight, I'm pissed, dude. And so yeah, that happened this week.
Boycott Channel 13.
Oh, it's so sad and disappointing when it just interrupts. It interrupted like mid-challenge, mid-obstacle course like challenge. They're like digging through mulch and then just Chris Wright. Like CBS. Oh. Tragic.
That is tragic, man.
And it didn't die. Surprisingly.
Did that light breaking help you be less pasty?
I think so, to be honest. You want to see what it looks like? Because it was pretty pasty.
No, it wasn't.
I mean, there's a little bit of color. Damn. You know, we're out here trying.
I need my sunglasses, man.
Yeah. It used to be, believe it or not, I think worse.
Yeah, I believe that.
Yeah, because it it haunts me still. I think, yeah, the second episode of the podcast, Jacob was on. Shout out, Jacob. But what he said haunts me still, which was we were just chilling, and he was like, so what's your long-term lighting strategy for the podcast? And I was like, I don't know, man, dude.
Yeah, it's
it took me forever to get these lights, you know? They're better. Like, if I turn that thing on, oh, God.
We have to do this just for the effect. Yeah, let's see.
Oh! Is it worse? Is it... Oh, I think it's worse, right?
Oh, yeah. Yeah,
I'm shining. You're like... Oh, no. The background? We're exposed. I feel so exposed right now.
Like a miniature sun.
Yeah. Ew.
A nebula. A nebula or whatever. The
only thing we could see is my blemishes.
So there you go. Comedy. I like the self-deprecating comedy. Like I said,
that's a big theme of mine. Yeah. I'm like observational satire with self-deprecation.
Yeah.
All throughout it.
I like all that. Like I said, the George Carltons, the Bill Burrs, like the... the Jesse whatever fuck dude, I like the people who are very blunt on, you know, say the raunchy stuff, say the stuff that other people won't say. Ricky, you know, he,
yeah,
and like I said, he jokes about some risque stuff, or at least I don't think that's what that's what they say it is, but
I like that kind of controversial stuff.
Like I said, I literally think everything should be on the table. Rape's fucked up, but it still should be comedy. Dead babies, fucked up, but we should still joke about it. You know what I mean? 9/11's sure. Fucked up, but jokes about it every other day now. So, I mean...
Yeah, like that joke about anything set. I joked about my dead friend, and that was pretty fresh. I mean, he died recently. and I made light of it, you know, just,
I mean,
I talked about how we used to, like, he used to bring up a ton, if we'd ever, like, allow anybody to do anything to our butt.
Oh, the age-old butt question.
Yeah.
Always comes up.
Yeah, we debated, like, I don't know why, but that was a theme of conversation. So I dived into that.
Okay.
Well, it was a fun time. We had a good time. I think you would have approved the joke.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, like I said, I think everything should be on the table, man. So I'm all for it. And then again, but so that's why I even like the clean shit. It's, you know, I can listen to some Jeff Foxworthy. You know, I can do some.
Dude, and you gotta have clean shit to get work. Is like the word around town. I mean, I don't know exactly how all the work goes because I don't have a lot. I mean, I've booked a couple of shows. I've made money on a couple of shows.
Gain like kind of an audit or like a name or a brand or something, because every time you go to a brand new place and if no one knows who you are, it's kind of like a shot in the dark of like going back to controlling the room. Like I said, if people, you're kind of getting out there and people know your name, who you are, then they're kind of knowing the jokes now, what to expect, what kind of comedy. But
yeah, you do have to have a brand behind you. I mean, you're selling yourself. The only way to scale is to grow your audience, not, or like your show or something, you know, and that's all built around you as an individual and what, you know, your brand or your cohesive style or aesthetic is. Like, there's comedians, even, you know, just here in Indiana that I know that are just so wildly different, you know?
Oh, yeah.
And there's a lot of great comics. I don't know. There's not too many that I think are making a living off of comedy, which is the goal.
Right.
So
that's the thing. So then that becomes a matter of location. Do you think that if you were, say, in California or New York, you know, do you think your odds are better or increased?
Yeah, for sure, 100%.
So
yeah.
So if the goal is to live off of it, survive off, that's your job, whatever, how you receive currency in America, how do you get, like, so what, I guess you have to ask yourself, are you willing to leave Indy? Because if that's the kind of the necessary step or goal, or at least it's going to definitely help, you have to start asking the honest questions, right, yourself.
Yeah, for sure.
Because I know I'm getting out of here. I'm moving to Florida here soon to do my dog training stuff.
Awesome. Cool. So,
but I want to go back to you because I'm more interested in you than I am
Am I willing to leave Indy? Absolutely. I mean, I came back to Indiana to start scale modeling and prototyping business, and that's taken off. That's irony. It's not taken off. That's,
I was going to say, it sounds real exciting, dude.
Yeah. I mean, I've sold, you know, 3D prints and whatnot, but I don't know. I've definitely had a change of want, I guess. I'm definitely open to moving. I don't know when will be the right time for me to do that. Like,
see,
at this point, I'm
trying to.
That's going
to be the problem, though, right? Is time. We never have to, it's never the right time. That's going to be the.
It's true.
Nothing is ever the right time.
Where should I go? I could go back to New York, right? Which is where I know, you know, I've lived in New York. I know the city. Or go somewhere new like Austin, Texas, which would probably be the quickest path to growing as a comic. Probably. So that's probably the better option. Probably, maybe.
Sounds like it. But it's either way, I think you have to. I know, and that's why I'm going to Florida. I'm kind of like immediately like changing, like flipping the script, because if I stay here in Indy, I just keep kind of running in circles of, oh, I'm gonna do this or do that, or then it's always, well, it's not the right time, or I don't.
For sure.
You know, it's
easy to get stagnant and comfortable. I'm guilty of it.
So,
for
and
sure.
That's why, like, I'm like, fuck it, dude. I'm Hail Mary in the fourth quarter kind of thing. I'm in the process of selling my house.
Are you? Nice.
Yeah, about to list it, and then buy me a place down in Florida. And,
hell yeah.
And get going, like, and that's like, that's kind of like, I don't have a full plan. You know, obviously, it'd be, you know, as time goes, hopefully the plan comes along more and more, but as of right now, that's the basic plan, I guess.
Yeah.
But the only way that plan actually even becomes a possible plan or whatever is to sell the house and actually do it. Because if I just keep sitting here saying, well, I'm going to do it, or this.
Yeah.
Because it's already been 3 years now. I've been saying that. My dad passed away 3 years ago. Now my mom passed away now almost a year ago. Like, so, you know, it's always like.
Yeah, I've been back in Indy 2.5 years now.
Yeah, it's a good way. It's like, and he's like fucking quicksand, dude. You know what I mean?
I do.
It's fucking like, god damn it. That's a good analogy for Indiana.
Yeah,
it's like quicksand.
And people that have never lived outside of Indiana, there's so many people that have a distaste for Indiana that live in Indiana.
Yeah, and that's the problem. Like, a lot of times if you move out, like, you don't come back. Like, the reason I was out in Massachusetts, the only reason I came back is because my dad died. And there's a lot going on. I got his house, but at the time I was paying like $2,800 a month for like a 2-bedroom apartment, which, and I had my daughter, and I'm like, well, I was like, paid off house or keep paying all this money, so.
Yeah.
So I reversed course for a little bit to kind of get my grounding, because as a single parent, shit be rough out here. So,
yeah, that's a lot.
So, you know, I kind of got my bearings and did all that, but then one thing came another, and just now here I am 3 years later, and I'm like, all right, fuck it, I'm going to just sell this house now and start over out in Florida, and like I said, just flip the script, man, because if not, I'm just, like I said, this place like quicksand, I'm just going to get stuck, and it's going to...
Yeah, I mean, it's not even that you're starting over in Florida. I mean, it is, like, you don't have connections. Well, I don't know, probably not as many connections down there.
Yeah.
But it'll be a whole new blueprint. With dogs.
It's too easy to fall into old patterns and habits, or, you know, do the same things if I'm driving down the same streets. So I'm ready to flip the script, man.
Yeah. 100%, I agree. I have, I don't know. I feel like
leap.
Something's brewing.
It's a big leap, but I think it'd be good for you, man, especially if you want
to. I'll be here for at least the summer. I definitely have to, like, pile up some seed money and.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
I want to do some shows, and I want to get an open mic going. And ideally, it gets going strong enough to where eventually I'll be like, man, I've grown as a comic. I feel really good. I want to get out of Indiana and grow more as a comic. This open mic is great. People like it. And I can just hand it off to somebody to host it. That's the idea, you know.
There you go. So what would you do as like a... Because you would need like a...
That would be the best case scenario.
You would need like a side job or hustle or something at first, right?
Probably.
You would think?
Yeah, probably.
Because I know that's like... That's kind of my thing, like... As soon as I get there, I know I won't have like a, because like I said, I have clients here and kind of a thing going on, but once I get out there, it'll be fresh again. I'll have to start over. So I'm going to be doing like probably DoorDash or even just like a part-time job somewhere, like something like maybe dog training or in the realm of dog training, just so that way I'm still working with or around them. I can maybe just get acclimated to the area, the something, you know, get at least get my footing or something, but
yeah
man, that's like I said, that was the big change that's going on for me, man. I'm about to
I love taking the leap and really pursuing what you want. I'm all about it. I'll definitely, like, I'm confident in my architectural abilities, right? I could pretty much good. I feel like I can work anywhere in the field of architecture. It will, like, really hold my own and do very solid work. I loved what I did in New York. I like the work that I do here, but I'd much rather be a comic. I feel like I can get a job at an architecture firm in any city, probably, that I want and, like, really look for.
Yeah.
So there's really nothing holding me back.
Well, set the goal, man. You said I'll hold you accountable to it. You said you gotta at least do this summer. So,
yeah.
By spring of next year, basically, I'll give you a year. How about that? I'll even up the ante a little bit. This time next year, you know.
Yeah, I'll probably
make it happen, dude.
I'll probably be somewhere.
Definitely, man. Like I said, I want
to
see all.
I do want to go to Austin. That's the thing. It's such a popping environment for comedy, you know, with the Mothership and uh-huh. Sunset and. I mean, you just hear about comics hitting six nights a mic. It's hard to do that a week here in Indy, you know.
Yeah.
There's a couple nights, maybe some weeks that you can hit multiple, but it's hard to hit a lot of mics here. It just is.
I'm sure.
It's not a lot of options. We've had more closed than open this past year, it feels like. I mean, Crackers closed. Happy Place just reopened. They were down for a good while, and they're still not at full force. They can't have shows yet, but they're allowed to do like a open mic.
Yeah.
Kokomo Press, their open mic just stopped. Yeah.
Well, that's why
Muggy Ducks started though.
What? Who's that?
Muggy Ducks.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, and they do an open mic, Muckety Mondays.
Muckety Mondays.
Yeah. Huh. That's fun. I'm hosting it tomorrow. Should be a banger.
I might pop in there. I don't know.
Yeah.
Might be too short notice to hop on a mic, but I might pop in at least and get a lay of the land and see how it
yeah. Is. It's kind of I would say it's a tougher room for a comic just because there's a lot of people and there's a lot of regulars at the bar and sometimes they can be.
So that's why I kind of like the self-deprecating humor because it's an easy fallback. Like, because if you're already doing bad, then it's like. Well, all right, well, I'm just going to start shitting on my... You guys are already shitting on me, so watch this.
Yeah, like...
I can shit on myself way better than you guys, okay?
I got so many fat jokes about myself. Like, I probably can do 10 minutes of fat jokes.
Yeah.
5-10 minutes.
Oh, yeah. Fat Easy. Jokes. For sure.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm sorry. I'm just like, you said that really quick, dude. Yeah. Like...
Dude, I got so many. It's probably not healthy. That's what I was saying the other week. I was like, man, I need to...
Dude, do you have people cry?
Dude, sometimes it gets emotional, dude.
Dude, I almost... So, I'm going to come on here one time, dude, and eat mushrooms. I want to do a podcast high on mushrooms.
Yeah, where's mushrooms? Is it legal in Vegas? Is it legal here?
It's not legal here. I don't know about Vegas. I know in Colorado.
Colorado? Okay.
Somewhere else. I know it's starting to...
So
we'll Oregon,
just go to Colorado.
It's starting to... Yeah.
Or at least...
Do it... Or, you know, do like a guest. I don't know. We'll figure it out. But yeah, man, that would be awesome.
That would be crazy. I mean, there's like crazy stories like Ari Shaffir, you know, doing like... I mean, he did DMT on a podcast once.
I would do anything legally that I'm allowed to do on a podcast. Like, I don't care how close it toes the line, as long as it's legal, I would do it just because, like, just for funsies.
Yeah.
I don't know how to live. I live life on the edge, or just live life to do things or to see things happen. So I'd be all for it.
Yeah, I mean, it would be a banging episode. There's no doubt that it would be.
And I'm always
electric.
And honestly, I need a good reset. Like, me personally, I think every, like, definitely month, 2 months tops, I should do, like, a hard mushroom reset.
Every month? That seems like a lot.
There's a lot.
There's a lot of people that microdose though, so like
I've tried that, but man, for me, I'm more like a computer that, you know, it's like been running.
Reboot.
You just Have you tried shutting it off and unplugging it and plugging it back in, sir?
Tried giving it a full reset.
Yeah, man. And like I said, that's why I said, like, maybe 2 months. It honestly, it kind of depends. It's not like a time thing, like a period every month or something where, you know, I can clock it. It's just kind of situational on
just feel like the vibe.
How many things are going on. But I think it's definitely a good thing for me to reset every once in a while.
Yeah, it's good to take a step back every once in a while and
it helped.
Get a wider perspective.
Yeah, and like I mean, and people's like, oh, well, why do you do that? You know, you still have this issue or this problem. I'm just like, yeah, listen, like when I take a bunch of mushrooms, I still owe bills, okay? I still,
yeah.
You know what I mean? The problems that I had before I took the mushrooms and after are still there, but I'm able to have kind of put a different lens on it, be able to, like, analyze it differently, look at it from a different perspective where, you know, or
yeah,
even
like, man, I should call my sister. Be like, yo, wonder how my brother's doing.
Right. So, you know, it's good. I know I always tell people too, man, especially anyone who struggles with mental health or fucking depression or just life in general, mushrooms, dude. It
can have some wild perspective shifting aspects.
I think it's good for everyone, man. If you're going through any sort of shit, it's, and to me, because I don't like taking medicine, like prescription type shit. All that stuff, but natural shit, man, I'm all for. So I'll, you know.
Yeah, it does appear naturally. Are you a stoned ape evolution theorist, or do you know about the stoned ape theory?
No, you'll have to clue me in on this.
All right, so like, there's a good amount of people that believe in evolution, you
okay.
know?
Yeah, I've heard.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
Familiar with the concept? Well, good. It's a good basis. So,
this next part's going to be easier to understand.
So, the stoned ape theory basically suggests that humans evolved past monkeys because they were a species that started taking psychedelics like mushrooms on the ground.
Yeah.
And just evolved quicker.
Nice.
You know?
Now I'm going to start giving my dog some fucking mushrooms.
Dude, you're going to talk in like 2 years.
It's going to be like, Wilfred, and we're going to be sitting there like smoking a bong together and shit.
Yeah. But he's got to evolve. It's going to take some time. It's going to shift. I don't know. That is crazy. But the stoned ape theory. I can see it.
The beautiful part about most, like, almost any conversation, any conspiracy theory, any argument.
Yeah.
I cannot see every side for and against, essentially.
Yeah.
Like, I can see points that make sense both ways, I guess. If you really, like, if you lawyer up enough, you know.
Yeah.
So that's why I think everything's up for debate. So for someone to be like, oh no, it's only this way, or I don't believe this, like, okay, but what about all this evidence, or what about all this, like, I don't know, man. I think it's possible. It sounds fucking crazy, far-fetched, but also so is a million other things that we found out to be true, right?
Yeah,
so.
I mean, conspiracy theories are conspiracies for a reason, and, you know, sometimes they're not true, but sometimes they are. I don't know why I'm thinking about, but it feels like a curveball at this point, but it's lingering in my mind. But yeah, I got banned from Tinder because in college I made a profile for LSD. Have you heard me talk about that before? I don't know. But yeah, I like wrote about like people microdosing in Silicon Valley for like a research essay. Throughout the semester. And then there was like an assignment to do an alternate presentation of the information. And it's just rattling off examples like PowerPoint or like make a movie or like some people make a Twitter or like a Tinder. And I was like, psh, I'm making a Tinder for LSD. And I did the presentation, crushed. But it's there is, I mean, real research behind like psychedelics, particularly like mushrooms, like connecting neuro paths, and like, I don't know, there's like this great story of like the person who had like really severe stutter and then took mushrooms, and then
yeah,
I mean, he thought his life was in danger, but he stopped stuttering.
You know? He was able to tell you clearly he was scared.
I mean, it was a combination of the mushrooms and thinking he might die,
yeah,
that brought him to the
snapping
conclusion that he didn't need to fucking stutter.
Yeah.
Which is amazing.
That's what I'm saying, man. It's a magical plant. Or
he evolved whatever. Right there.
Yeah.
Proof of the Stone Ape theory. Sorry,
I mean, yeah. If, like I said, that's if, depending on perspective, how you look at it, it that, you know, that yeah, theory makes sense. So,
are you? I love a good simulation theory. You like? Think we live in a simulation?
Oh, dude, yes. Every fucking time I fucking turn to my house, there's a car. A car comes down. This road, like every time, like
Truman Show.
Yeah, I'm like, oh, really? Just happens to be a car every fucking time I go down here.
Right on cue.
Yeah, yeah, and I'm like, and especially because I've been door dashing a lot lately, and oh, yeah, so I've
just
been,
run into a lot of NPCs.
Yeah, dude, I'm like, what the fuck is going on around here, dude? I'm like, that dude's just like fucking. Like, not even looking at a menu, writing shit. I'm like, what's going on over here? Yeah, it's wild out there, man.
Yeah.
So I do think the simulate. I do. I think there's just too many things that happen that don't make sense. And then there's definitely things that happen that also make it make sense too.
Yep.
If you know what I mean. Sure. So
there's code on the walls.
Yeah.
Just gotta find it.
Yeah.
Matrix. Well, we've got like an hour 10. Should we wrap up? You want to talk about anything else?
No, we can wrap. Like I said, I'll come on again sometime, man. We'll have some more material, because sure, like I said, I could go longer, but let's end on a good positive note. I think we got through this whole episode without any controversies. I don't think anyone's gonna get canceled.
Yeah. Do we have any major difference?
No,
maybe not major. Minor.
I don't think we didn't do good on the title of having differences.
Yeah, dude, I kind of suck at like referencing it ever, so that's why
I think
it up,
that maybe, you know, the more times I come on,
yeah,
maybe we'll
explain our differences.
Yeah,
be like, who'd you vote for?
Right.
Why'd
now,
you vote for?
Right now,
what do you think about this?
We're still in the honeymoon phase, so we're still being nice to each other. Right, right. So, you know, maybe episode 3 or 4, we'll take the gloves off a little bit.
Hell yeah. Yeah, I think we're both down to open up any can of worms, so...
Yeah, man.
Maybe I'll just, like, start just rattling off crazy hot takes on the podcast.
Yeah, there you go. Just like, so what do you think about Diddy?
Yeah, right. I've been yesterday I did a Happy Place open mic, and I did, like, crowd work or whatever, but I just went up and I was like, yo... are you like a Coke or a Pepsi person?
Coke.
Nice. Yo, you got anything else in common with Hitler? It's so dumb, but I love it.
Nice.
It's just because I learned that Hitler's favorite drink was Coke.
Yeah.
And it seems like everybody is. I have no backup plan if they say Pepsi.
Yeah,
I'll probably just make the Hitler joke and just tell a lie.
Yeah, I was almost going to... The only reason I didn't say... Pepsi is because I don't really care for Coke. I was just thinking of the other Coke, but yeah, you might need to think of a backup plan for Pepsi.
Yeah, I gotta come up with something.
You know, I'd just be like, all right, never mind. All right, you sir, Pepsi or Coke? Just until someone says the right one.
That's funny. Yeah,
that'll be good. You can take that.
Yeah, sure. Who knows if I'll say it. I'll probably say it again.
Do
like
it.
It's pretty dumb.
Do it.
I like it.
Actually, I want to ask, because I don't want to give it. I don't know if like some comedy comedian stuff is like a magician stuff where You don't want to give away secrets or
I'll
something.
I'll show you the curtains behind the wall. There's some people that think there's gatekeepers in Indiana, and there probably are people that are petty as fucking selfish, but fuck that gatekeepership. I don't know what kind of audience they think they have. They're not making a living off of this. What are they gatekeeping?
Yeah.
I want an audience bigger than yours, no offense. Okay, I'm sorry to interrupt on that rant.
Oh, you're good. Yeah.
God damn it. What were you saying? You were saying something juicy and I totally ranted over you. There was the people in the comedy scene or something that you don't want to step on or something like that? No?
I don't know.
I shouldn't have ranted. I totally ranted over you. I'm so sorry.
You're good.
Man. But yeah, any kind of secrets you ever want to know about the game?
It was just a question I had of like, I know like at some point you kind of get like, kind of like a set list or a material, like what's the process? Like I was going to ask you just kind of like, how many times is it, do you like kind of cycle through it? Like show, you know what I mean? Do you,
what's how do like, I build my sets?
Yeah.
Okay, so to give myself some spine in this conversation, the longest set I've done was like 17 minutes. Most open mics are 5 minutes.
Okay.
So generally my process is just like write down things that are funny to me. Whenever I find something funny, I write it down. And most of the time it starts out kind of poorly and then evolves into a joke, or sometimes I'll just think of a joke, write it down.
Yeah.
And then I'll have to do an open mic and I will look at my list and see, like, I don't know, ideally you're gonna laugh like every like 20 seconds is like premium comedian.
Yeah,
but that's a lot of jokes, so just like you know, get my, I, at this point I kind of know how many jokes to fill, how much time, so I just compile like the 5 to 10 jokes that I know I'm hitting. Mm-hmm. Or like topics, you know.
Yeah.
Bits, cause some of them are one liners, some of them can go for longer. And I'll do that a bunch. Like each of these pages are filled with like the topics of the evening or that I'm going through.
Yeah.
And then eventually I'll be doing a showcase where I'll do a showcase and I'll have like a 15-minute set. And so I'll just take the best of the past open mics, whatever. And over the past like month or so, all of the best stuff I did, group that together.
All the shit that landed and all that.
Right. And generally, I'll have like, you know, like groups of topics. Like, there'll be a lot of jokes that relate, so I'll just kind of figure out a method of bringing each other up, and then I'll come up with segues, you know, try to make funny segues between them.
Yeah.
Build them that way. And then I'll do a showcase, and then I'll try to retire those jokes and come up with new jokes. That's been my method to my madness so far.
There you go.
Sounds so legit. Yeah, this was my showcase. These were all jokes that I was gonna hit in my showcase.
Oh yeah.
Boom.
Yeah, man. I'll have to watch that jigsaw. You have to write down or text me the name of that book.
Oh yeah.
Because the problem is a lot of times people recommend things or give advice and then people just nod their head and say thank you and then never actually do it. So, you know, want to actually participate.
Hell yeah, dude.
See what happens.
Yeah, I'm hitting open mics all the time. So if you want to start generally at like a bar or like trying to put your name in that helium or something, dude, I'll point you in the right direction. I got you.
Oh yeah.
All right, well, you want to do the intro?
The intro?
Got any other things to shout out or anything else to talk about?
No, man. Like I said, I'd like to come back another time.
We'll
pin it for next time.
Yeah, definitely.
Some stuff to talk about, so.
All right. Well, until next time, let's do the intro. All right, ready?
Alright, today on Friends with Differences, we talked about being a comic. We talked about life, we talked about friends, we talked about maybe some bullshit, we talked about Elon Musk.
Yep. We hit dogs, we talked about life transforming and moving locations, and
talked about Chris Wright.
Chris Wright. we talked about Stephen Wright. Fuck Chris Wright.
Yeah, dude, he fucked everything up. I think we did good today.
Yeah, Sparky, thank you for coming on. I really appreciate it. We're definitely doing this again at some point in the future. I don't know where. We're going national, you know.
Well, yeah, you're gonna have to figure out a new venue.
Yeah, we'll figure it out soon.
Word on the street. So.
Yeah. We'll make it happen.
Yes, sir.
Well, thanks again for coming on, and enjoy the episode.
Yes, sir.
Peace.